Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo. Serving you a generous helping of everything you need to know to help you and your loved ones stay safe during any doctor or hospital visit. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Hello and welcome. I'm Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety, where each week we delve into little-known healthcare and hospital hazards, as well as other fringe topics that affect your health and well-being. I'm so happy you've taken the time to join me, and today I have lots to share with you. So let's dig right in, shall we? Well, today we are going to talk about a topic I've not discussed before, and that is resilience. As a patient safety advocate and a caretaker for my mom for 9 years, and as a businesswoman, I've seen, heard, and been through some pretty harrowing life-death experiences and some devastating business crises. So how does one bounce back and keep going during traumatic times like these? Resilience. Resilience is the ability to roll with the punches. When stress, adversity, or trauma strikes, you still experience anger, grief, and pain, but you're able to keep functioning, both physically and psychologically. And right now, I have just the guest to help us with this conversation. She is Maureen Metcalf. She has captured her 30 years of experience and success in an award-winning series of books, which are used by public, private, and academic organizations. Maureen also is a regular contributor to Forbes.com, among a long list of other outlets. And I am happy to share her wisdom with you today. So welcome to the network, Maureen.
Thank you so much, Pat. It's an honor to be here, and I appreciate getting to talk about such an important topic.
I do, too. So, Maureen, you suggested the idea that we talk about resilience today, and I'm going to ignore a cardinal interviewing rule, and I'm going to ask you a two-pronged question. What exactly, for you, is resilience? What does that mean, and why do you think it's important to talk about?
So, we talk about it as being flexible and focused. And so if we think from if we think about a bridge or a building, it's how much disturbance can it absorb before it collapses. For humans, if we think about the same thing, how much frustration, disruption can I absorb before I'm no longer effective? And then the converse is, what's the vision of what is possible for me if I am more able to navigate, kind of ride the wave of complexity and challenge rather than hitting a wave and getting upended.
Now, you specifically work with companies and organizations, but within these companies and organizations are individuals. So, you know, everyone really needs to think about resilience. And I'm kind of concerned because we seem to be living in a time when society seems like they encourage and glorify people being a little bit frail. You know, in school, everyone's a winner and they get award in schools. And if they don't like the outcome of the presidential campaign or the presidential election, they're encouraged to stay home and rest and skip exams. And is this something that teaches resilience, or is the idea of caring for oneself first an integral part of attaining resilience?
You know, it's an interesting balance. And the word that comes to mind is anti-fragile, and the book by Tlaib that talks about how do we have built-in capacity so we aren't fragile. And so part of that is, if we think about when we cook a spaghetti noodle, uncooked, a little bit of stress causes it to break and shatter, depending on the brand of noodles and if they're organic and stuff. A little bit of cooking, they are able to move, they're pliable, and we like them. For those who like spaghetti. And if they're cooked too much, they're mushy. And similarly with human beings, if you have no capacity to deal with stress, then you have to stay home when you don't like something that happens. We're all winners. If we learn to deal with stress, we have the capacity to adapt, to flow with it. We've got good practices that allow us to stay in the game when something goes wrong, and especially for leaders. If I'm following someone, I want them to appear as if I can trust them. They're not going to collapse when something goes wrong. And yet all of us, need to manage our stress level and have practices that allow us to rejuvenate offline so that we don't turn to mush. Because it doesn't matter how competent and smart someone is, when they have too much going on, at some point, they're going to drop the ball.
So you're saying that resilience really is not the ability to escape unharmed, but it is how you react and behave after the harm or after something that's just a little bit too much.
Yeah, I would say none of us escape life unharmed or unimpacted, right?
Right.
And I don't want to sound pessimistic, but stuff happens. I just went through helping my mom transition out of her home with Alzheimer's. Mm. And when I say helping her transition, really it meant I was taking her out of her house because she was no longer able to function. Incredibly difficult to take the mother who had raised me mm-hmm. and basically, in her mind, throw her out of her house and move her into some warehouse where they put old people, right? So my objective was keep her safe. But her perception was, I was the most awful person in the world. There's no way to go through the things we go through in life, whether it's aging of parents, children getting sick or hurt, something happening with a partner, something happening in our work lives. How many people, what the percentage is, like 90% of us will lose a job at some point in our career. And generally not because we're poor performers, because the conditions change. So all of us will experience significant disruption. The question is, what do we do with it?
Well, first, let me say I'm so sorry about your mom. I know how that must hurt, and you need to be resilient. And when I think about caretaking, I also think about caring for yourself as the caretaker and the physical aspects of that. If you don't take care of yourself physically, then there's nothing much left that you can do. So let's talk about the physical side and resilience and how those two are connected.
So we break resilience into four categories. So I'm going to say this and then go back to physical. So one is managing your physical well-being. One is managing your thinking. The third is your emotions. And in that, I would also put your spiritual health if you are a spiritually oriented person. And then the fourth is your connections, your relationships, and those people who help you. So physical, you know, at a minimum, we need to eat well. We need to feed and care for our bodies. So am I eating, sleeping, managing my caffeine intake, says the woman who was drinking a cup of coffee during the interview in the afternoon, manage our alcohol, and also take time to be charged, so doing things that we care about. Like for me, it's being out in nature and spending time with my pets and my partner.
Yes, and good thing you're drinking coffee and not the alcohol, right?
Yeah, it's 3 in the afternoon. So.
All right, that's good. Yes, and that sounds very basic. You think, okay, I've got to eat well, but it's a simple thing to forget to do or to think I'll do it later, and you know, you lose sleep, and all of those things affect you physically. So I'm glad you're bringing this up. So now let's talk about the thinking side and resilience.
So often we can't manage the physical as well as we'd like, right? There are times we're not going to get sufficient sleep, and it is just the world we live in. What I can do is manage my thinking. So think about the whole mindfulness focus and taking time out to teach my brain to focus, just like I would on the physical side. I would go to the gym and exercise, or I would do my 10,000 steps a day, or whatever the physical piece is. Many people who would never consider, those of us who wear Fitbits, wouldn't consider it a complete day if we walked 300 steps when the goal is 10,000. Yet, the same people who are getting physical exercise and attending to it don't necessarily think that we should do the same mental workout as we do physical. And so that is either a breathing practice or a meditation practice or a mindfulness practice that allows us to get back control of our thinking. So a couple of things. 5 minutes of negative thinking can cause 6 hours of physiological negative impact. So cortisol, think when you are driving down the street, there are cones out, the lane ends, and there wasn't a good sign, and you have a near escape, which actually happened to me today. The fight and flight hormones that kick in, right, to keep us alive, mm-hmm. happen. How do I then dissipate those and return back to a sense of balance so that I'm not abducted by the things happening to me physiologically? And part of that is having a very strong practice of managing my thinking, knowing that I have to take a couple of deep breaths, reconnect, think of what I'm grateful for, think of the positive in my life to help just manage the hormones. So I'm not an expert in mindfulness, but I do have a practice, and it does involve regularly breathing, visioning, gratitude, and being aware enough that this thing just happened and I need to reground and reconnect, whatever that means for me. So it means taking a few deep breaths, feeling my feet on the ground, and before I get back in the car, making sure my head's back in the game.
So it's a lot about reframing, trying to work to change your focus and your perspective, because your perception really does become your reality.
So think about days you've gotten up and it's just, you didn't sleep well, you have something on your mind, it's a big deliverable, or you've got an employee you have to reprimand, or your child just did something and you have to talk to a teacher about their behavior, whatever the thing is, and you start the day out feeling a little challenged and a little negative, and how that negativity permeates the day versus when you start a day thinking you've gotten enough sleep, you feel rested, you're looking forward to something that's exciting during the day, that whole day can feel different because of what you're thinking just when you get out of bed in the morning. So how do we reframe when that negative thing happens or that challenging thing happens so we can go back to having a more positive experience through the rest of our day? So it is reframing.
Mm-hmm, it is. So now this is somewhat then connected to your emotions. And so let's go with that, because I think about people who are feeling stress or grief or anxiety and loneliness. You know, how does that play into the thought of becoming a resilient person?
So thank you for saying that. If we think about it, living in a physical body, my emotions, again, something happens and I'm frustrated. That immediately impacts I have that negative thinking. So I have a feeling that drives my thinking and it drives my physiology. So being emotionally intelligent, I have to be aware of what I'm feeling and or what I'm thinking or what's happening in my body. So when I notice that I am hunched over and I start to get a headache, that's one of the things that happens for me, is headache or stomach ache. Then I have to step it back and think about what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling. Since I am less attuned to my feelings, I pay attention to the headaches and the stomach aches. And that gets me back to what am I feeling. And then I can unwind what am I thinking. So it is all very interconnected. For some people, they're aware of their feelings quickly, and they can manage. And it's a similar back to the mindfulness and reframing. If I can catch when I'm frustrated or angry, especially, or scared, what are the thoughts with that? And how do I reframe back to what's the positive? What's the good outcome? What are the good things about this person? So I'm at least going into any interaction with a balanced perspective. So if someone's all bad, we shouldn't be working with them. Most people have goods and bads, and our brains are wired to focus on the negative because our brains are wired to keep us alive. So this is where the neuroscience comes in. So if I've had a negative interaction with someone, my brain is 8 to 10 times more likely to find the negative because it wants to keep me safe. So now I have to manage that brain and that natural way of preserving my safety and do the reframing actively to keep it balanced. So I'm not abducted by my thinking, which is going to then impact my emotions.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you just said you're instinctively wired to protect yourself. And so that's the reason why you might approach another person with that negativity, just to say, I'm not going to get hurt, or they're not going to do this to me. That is very, I have to give that a lot more thought.
Thank you for saying that. This is one of the things I've learned, and it's one of our interviews, is with Gary Weber, a brain researcher, who talks a lot about how much we operate. Like 99% of what we do is habit. It's our brain doing what it's wired to do. Mm-hmm. And if we're not doing mindfulness exercises and managing that thinking, we are likely to be on autopilot, and autopilot doesn't have us functioning as our higher self, because autopilot is about staying alive, staying safe, mm-hmm. not the vision of the best version, but more middle to lower. The Maslow hierarchy is safety, mm-hmm. some of those things. And that's where my brain is functioning. If I am not actively doing some of this higher order processing.
Right. Ooh, exciting work, yes?
It is. It's amazing what's possible. And yet most of us are focused most of our time on doing our job, mm-hmm. getting to the gym, cleaning the house, making sure we're fed and things are maintained. And yet there's this brilliant research happening. And even if we spend 10 minutes a day doing these kind of practices, it can really change our life experience and the impact. And while I work with leaders, it's impacting caring for family members. It's impacting caring for ourselves, for our kids, for what we do in our church communities or soccer leagues. Everyone benefits when we invest in ourselves, and yet we're often taught invest in others first, not self first.
True. Very true. So now we talked about physical, the emotional side, the thinking side. Obviously, all of this then takes us to our relationships. And we can't avoid relationships unless we're a hermit. So let's talk a little bit about the relationship side of this.
As we think about resilience, when all else fails, reach out. So if I'm struggling, so the example of my mother, because that was one of the most difficult things I experienced, the person who helped me with that was my best friend. So Carla and I, when my mom threatened to call the police on me, when she threatened to kill herself, all those things that people do in that worst moment of their lives, she was there with me to go through this with me. I don't know what would have happened if I had to do that alone. So cultivating friendships, cultivating those professional and personal relationships, you know, for those people who are lucky enough to have a happy marriage, it's often a spouse. Or people who look to other people in their lives, a trusted colleague. It's why Gallup talks about having a best friend at work, that we need to have those relationships where people can support us during the most difficult moments. You know, we talked about reframing and managing our thinking. Who is the colleague that when I'm struggling with something, can talk me through that experience I'm having? Because even though I coach people, and hopefully I'm brilliant in doing it, in my own life, I'm not brilliant. I am succumbed to all of the human foibles, and so I need people to remind me of these practices and of who I can be in my best self to accomplish the good in the world that I'm trying to do, and for each of us, the good we're all trying to do.
And as you're saying that, I'm thinking it's also important then to be a person who's there for others, so when they need that shoulder to lean on, that they can count on you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of people I've reached out to, just a simple text or an email or something, and I never hear back from them. Mm-hmm. Yet when they lose a job, I'm an early phone call. Right? At some point, you have to put it in the account before you can withdraw it.
Exactly, Yep. That's why I mentioned that. You know, as you're talking and thinking about resilience, that it's very constant and it's probably ever changing with your circumstances. So you seem like a highly resilient person. And then you get hit with the situation with your mom that tests your resilience. And so you've got to pull back and draw back on all that you know. So it really is something important to cultivate in case that big situation comes along where you need that practice even.
You know, this is why we talk about daily practices, and we have a free assessment on the website, and it's at www.metcalf-associates.com. I'm just going to jump into this specifically because there's an assessment. So for any of the listeners who wants to see how am I doing now, and if there's something you score low on that you want to focus on, best to focus on it when you're not in crisis, right? Mm-hmm. The last thing I need to do when I'm in the middle of the worst events of my life are to try to start to build a resilience practice. At that point, I'm struggling to make it through the day. And I would say that this is true for all of us, mm-hmm. that we build it while we are feeling good. And then it's there when we're struggling.
Absolutely. Yeah, I tell my listeners on my patient safety radio program to pack a hospital bag ahead of time, because when you fall down the flight of stairs or, you know, you're in the ambulance, you're not going to be thinking clearly to pack it. So this is a very similar type of a situation, is be prepared ahead of time. Absolutely. So we're talking about this as if it's something fairly simple to do. I mean, we can all take care of ourselves physically and emotionally and, you know, work on our thoughts and breathing and meditation and our relationships. How do we really go about building resilience? I mean, is it really something that is possible to cultivate if, say, someone listening has never really given this much thought?
So one, take the assessment and see where you are falling short. But are you getting enough sleep, drinking enough water? I mean, there are things we can do that you don't have to spend a bunch of money on. You don't have to go off to week-long workshops. We know what our bodies need. Do that, right? Physical, sleeping, eating, healthy. Get outside, get in nature, walk. So physical, managing our thinking. Do you have a gratitude practice? There's, I think, a TED Talk that talks about spending 5 minutes a day writing down what you're grateful for. You know, on a bad day, it's simple stuff. I have enough to eat every day. I'm worried about dieting, not starving. We have clean water in our house. Many of our listeners are in the United States. We have so much good that unless you have just been in a flood or a fire, many of us, our basic needs are met. And we have the luxury of time to invest with family and hobbies. There are things we can do in the thinking, in the emotional space, paying attention. This meditation, if it's just counting your breath from 1 to 50 once a day, that's about a 5-minute practice. Doing that every day, morning and evening, gratitude morning and evening. As I'm driving into work, what do I aspire to? So what is the best version of myself? What does that look like? And how do I aspire to that as I go into work, as I come home from work, for my time with my family or my friends? And then at the end of the evening, what am I grateful for? Did I do well? What am I proudest of? Who do I want to be? End of the night as I get into bed or as I'm brushing my teeth. Building these simple practices in and doing them militantly and religiously, then when I talk about building the bank account, we've got it there and we have a solid foundation. So on the day when something goes wrong, I've got the ability, my neural pathways in my brain are accustomed now to going to what am I grateful for? What is my happiest moment in life? I can switch. I can reframe. If I've never done that exercise, I can't do it when I need it.
Absolutely. Well, we have talked a lot about a few different items here, how folks can take care of themselves and build that resiliency and have that bank account, as you say, so when they need it, they can call on it. So the website is metcalf-associates.com. Well, Maureen, before we head out, any final words?
Pat, I just want to say thank you for taking the time to do the interview on resilience, and for all the work you do to make interviews available for the Pillowcase Project, and for your work and your radio show. It just together we make the world better.
Aw, you're a sweetheart. Thank you for that. I'm so happy we met, and I'm always honored to be able to air your podcast on the network. And today's conversation was just outstanding. Resilience, it's going to give me a lot to think about, and I know our listeners as well. Maureen Metcalf, metcalf-associates.com. My friend, thank you so much. Maybe we should do this again some other time as well.
Thank you, my friend. I would love to. Absolutely love to.
And bless you and your mom. Give her a hug from us.
Thank you. I will.
Hi there, I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, the host of Mrs. Green's World, and I would really love for you to become a part of that world. We talk about things like the faceless villain of climate change, our compromised food supply, and about how to become a conscious consumer. But it's not all bad news. We educate, we inspire, we engage. We always leave you with some small steps you can take to make a difference for this great planet of ours and help you live the healthy life you deserve. Please visit MrsGreensWorld.com to learn more and become a part of our world.
Recently, I was asked to narrate and produce the audiobook version of a book titled Death by 5G, an advanced guide to population reduction techniques. So what is 5G? 5G, which stands for fifth generation, is an upcoming standard for mobile telecommunications service that promises to be significantly faster than today's 4G. Well, the author of this book has a lot more to say about it. Here's a bit from their page on Amazon. They say, this new technology will affect living human beings to the core of their health. This guide will tell you all the ways the government and powers that be will be using fifth generation signals to blast through your home devices to levels you could never imagine. Dangers involving 5G technology are serious and varied. Learn how to protect yourself and the people you love. So to find out more and to get your Kindle version or the audiobook version, just visit Amazon.com and type in the title of the book, which is Death by 5G, the number 5, the letter G. And if you or someone you know would like to turn their book into an audiobook, I can do that for you. Just email me at pat@speakupandstayalive.com or call me 440-725-5462. Well, there you have it. Lots to think about and plenty to share with others. And to do so, simply head over to the website, speakupandstayalive.com, where you can listen to today's show again and hear previous episodes, all under the Radio Archives button. And while you're there, visit the shop page to get a copy of the life-saving book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, Your Hospital Survival Guide. And if you just need more of me, invite me to speak to your group, club, church, business, or hospital. My presentations are fun, fast-paced, informative, and life-saving. Visit speakupandstayalive.com for more information. Email me at pat@speakupandstayalive.com or call me and leave a message on the radio studio line, 440-725-5462. That is 440-725-5462. Well, that is it for today. Until next time, I hope you have a healthy and a happy week. I am Pat Rulo, and I am the voice for informed choice.